I don't know whether any of you remember, but our friend Jean, who's sitting quietly over here, give us a wave, Jean, came and did a presentation on hope and kindness about 18 months ago, 18 months ago now. And this was the first slide of the presentation that that she used. And at that point, I think, well, certainly we knew that we really wanted to do and go and help hope and kindness. But when I saw this, slide, hope and kindness, bringing a little bit of heaven down here to earth, I think at that stage, I thought, oh, that's nice. Sounds really nice. But I didn't really have a sense of what that meant. But having now been to Hope and Kindness and spent 2 weeks, which actually wasn't a very long time in the grand scheme of things, bringing a little bit of heaven down here is absolutely sums up Hope and Kindness. It is an amazing little charity. And I say little, it's actually not that little anymore, but it started off little. It's an amazing charity that achieves amazing things. And it achieves amazing things in people's lives and in the community which it serves. And it does that because of the faith of the people that are there. And in particular, Terry and Judy, who were the people that went to set up Hope and Kindness in the first place. So we wanted, some of you may have heard this before, but we did want to just remind you about how it started, because it's a really important part of the Hope and Kindness journey. So Terry and Judy actually lived locally. They lived in Redditch, both teachers, both working incredibly hard in their jobs, two young children, actually going through quite a difficult time in their own marriage, and they're quite open about that, and it's actually on the website in terms of the journey that they've had in terms of where they ended up and what they're now doing. So they were going through quite a difficult time in the marriage. At that point, they weren't Christians. And actually, Terry was really struggling with alcohol, issues around alcohol. So one particular day, Judy actually went for a walk on the Malvern Hills, and at that point was really thinking that, you know, that their marriage was maybe coming to an end. What she didn't know was that Terry's brother, who had recently become a Baptist minister, was actually driving to their house because he felt really strongly that he wanted to talk to them about his faith. So when Judy arrived back home, Terry's brother was already there, and they spent the rest of the evening talking to him about his faith. And they were quite challenging towards him in terms of some of the things that he was saying. But actually, by the end of the evening, Terry and Judy gave their hearts to God. And that's when they became Christians. And it was quite, for them, I think, was a really significant moment, like it is for many of us, I guess. They continued in their work as teachers. But they also then got to know a lady that came to their church that was doing some work in Kenya with some orphans. And so Judy started to talk to this lady. They started to sponsor a young man, well, he was a young boy at that time, called Collins, who is actually now the youth manager of the charity. And I think that says it all, really. So they sponsored this young man. And then during the summer holidays, they started to think about, could they go out to Kenya to help this lady with what she was trying to do for orphans in Kenya. And then one Sunday, this lady talked to them and said that she'd been offered the opportunity for a sort of small amount of land in a place called Kiseli, where she felt there was a real need for another orphanage, or they actually call it a children's home. So I'm to cut a very long story short, eventually, Terry and Judy actually gave up their jobs as teachers and went off to Kiseli in Kenya to start the children's home. And that was in 2002. So that's the picture of them as they set off with their two young children at the time to start off Hope and Kindness. A huge step of faith and a leap out of the boat is what I would say. They're still relatively young Christians, but felt incredibly strongly that God was calling them to go and to work in Kenya. And so after lots of prayer and lots of fundraising, they stepped out of the boat and took that step. So we wanted you just to have that context, really, in terms of the charity and its history. And we'll tell you a little bit more in a little bit while about the progression that they've made since they've been there. But Keith's going to now tell you just a little bit about the community of Caselli.
There we are. So they were asking a question, really, why Hope and Kindness, why Kenya, and why and Caselli? But there are, it's an area of real need. Because in 2017, there are still too many children who never have enough to eat. Now, I mean, and I'm going to ask Andrew if he could just get me a drink of water. That would be great. But very often, they'll only have one meal a day, and that probably won't have any meat with it, and maybe only once a month would they have meat. Or, you know, they have beans and they have other things. They have rice, but mainly vegetables, and those are things that they grow. But you can see there the picture of his bloated stomach, and that's really because he doesn't have enough to eat, and that really is a problem throughout Kenya. I've asked Andrew to get me a drink of water this morning, and you might think that's a strange colour, but in Kenya that's not unusual.
Don't ask.
This is not Kenyan water. And
it's
just a visual that, you know, safe water is not something that they can accept. I've just put food colouring in this to make it this awful colour. But it's safe for me to drink. But, I mean, for many in Kenya, the water isn't safe. I wonder if I might have two volunteers just to give me a hand for a minute. Is there anybody that would like to help me? Matthew? Anybody else? Yeah, if you'd like to come. I don't know how you'll manage that.
I'll hold this one.
If I can give you those two water bottles. And I just want you to walk around the church with them, maybe once or twice. But you're going to go and help her. You can help her hold as well. And this is quite a normal thing for the children to do. They'll either carry them or they'll, you know, have them on their heads. But they never have good or safe water to drink. I mean, they may have to go for a two-hour walk just to get to the water source, and then they'll have to wait there in the sunshine and wait until their time is up in the queue before they can just fill up their bottles and then have a two-hour walk back. You can pop those down. How was that?
Quite hard
and quite heavy. But kids of this age do it for 2 hours, walking there and then coming back with heavy water bottles. And it's no fun. And so there's a real issue for water. They always have a lot of work to do. Kids in Kenya are always doing something. The children in Hope and Kindness are always cleaning and washing and looking after one another. And so there's a tremendous amount for them to do. It's not a normal childhood. Many children live without parents because of HIV and many other diseases that will actually kill them. Or, you know, as I say, they haven't had safe water, or they're malnourished, and so many of them die earlier. So they live lives caring for one another. We went to some of their homes, and a home for a whole family was smaller than the kitchen I have at home. And that's when it brings it home to the reality of what is going on. They're stranded with no chance of going to school, so many of them are not educated, and there's no money to send them to school. As you drive along the road, you see an older-looking woman just with a hammer just breaking up rocks, and she will get a matter of a few pence just to keep her family going by actually breaking up these stones and filling a wheelbarrow, and she may get 30 or 40 pence for that, and back-breaking work. because the crops are failing and they haven't got their normal farm work to do. And so there are tremendous impacts of the drought and the failing rains in Kenya especially. But also at the moment they've also got a caterpillar that's causing devastation among the crops, eating their rice and their maize and their millet and the potatoes and various other crops. And I think it's an import from South America, and it's already resistant to many of the chemicals that they would use to get rid of them. So the impact of the drought is absolutely huge in the whole of Kenya. I'm going to hand over now to Mandy.
Yep. So hopefully that gives you a little bit of a picture about why the lady, Pat, that came to speak to Terry and Judy felt that there was a real need for some work to be done in Kaseli. It is a real area of need. Like I say, they took a big step of faith, but we want to tell you a little bit more about now how that's gone on to develop. So this year, it's actually the 15th anniversary year of Hope and Kindness. So quite a lot of time has gone by. And as you can see on there, we've put, after lots of hard work, commitment and lots of prayer, they now have 20 children and young people currently that are living in the children's home and have that sort of secure, safe and loving family to be with. So this we've done it the wrong way round, really, but we thought we'd put this picture first because we took this on the last day. But this is actually the children and young people that live in the children's home that we spent a lot of our time with. There's a few of the staff at the back there as well. But there are a number of children and young people that have already grown up and gone through the children's home and have gone on, some of them to get jobs, others not necessarily. Some of them have stayed and actually are now part of the sort of team at Hope and Kindness. There's one of the young women that actually didn't manage to gain many qualifications, and she's actually now helping out as an assistant in the school. And I think Keith and I spent quite a bit of time with her, and she had very real potential. The way that she related to the children and young people was lovely. So we really tried to encourage her with that whilst we were there. So one of the things that was very special for us, I think, was just getting to know these children and young people. You know, at different times of the day when they weren't busy or they weren't at school, they would come and sort of seek us out, really, and come and find us and sit with us and play with Andrew and do all sorts of things. And that was a really special part of it, really. And I think, Fudden, they enjoyed it. I think you enjoyed it too, Andrew, didn't you? So in the children's home, there are children from the age of 2.5 right up to 17. They never anticipated having babies at Hope and Kindness. They were really not ever set up to have babies. But these two arrived as babies within 3 weeks of each other. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about Hope, who's on this side, who I'm holding. I'm going to tell you a little bit about her story later on. So we'll leave that for now. But these, Hope and Phoebe.
Hope does a lot of dancing.
They both do a lot of dancing. So their little dormitory was very close to the visitor centre where we were staying. So each morning when we got up, we were greeted by their lovely little faces, which was a pleasure every morning, really. So it's not swapping over to the next one, that's it. So the children's home was the first thing that they started, but as they were teachers themselves, very quickly Terry and Judy realised that actually what they really needed to be doing next was enabling an education for these children and young people, but also for many of the children and young people in the local community for whom actually getting to school was just not happening. It was too far away or there wasn't enough room at the school. So a year after they'd been there, they started the primary school. You can see how many are there. There's probably about 30.
No, not 30.
At this point, there was about 30, wasn't there, Andrew? Yeah. So those of you who are at school, does that look, is that smaller than your school, do you think? Yes? Yeah. So there's about 30. Well, what about this one? It's a bit slow. So 2017, and there are now over 300 children and young people in that school, which is just an amazing, just an amazing thing that they've managed to achieve in that period of time, really. And it has just grown and evolved over time, but with a lot of prayer and a lot of faith. Judy and Terry, one of the days I was talking to them, they said, we don't know how the books, we don't know how the numbers add up for this charity. It doesn't work. When you look at the numbers, it doesn't work. We don't know how this happens. And that's because they live by faith. And it's a real testimony, I think, to us all, really, in terms of the way that they sort of live. I know we can't all give up our jobs and go off to a different country to do that, but it is about thinking about what smaller ways can we maybe do that in our own lives, really. So you can tell them a bit more about sports in a minute. We've got some photos, haven't we? So that's the picture of the high school students. And Terry, who is a sort of senior school, secondary school teacher, he runs the sort of high school, and Judy sort of looks after the primary school, which has now got an early years class there as well. There's a couple of pictures here of when, in 2009, when they, because the school had developed so much, they weren't getting sufficient clean water to be able to give to the children and young people when they're actually at the school. So Annie, the lady that went with us, you remember us talking about Annie, the lady from Bewdley Elim Church, she has done a lot of fundraising for Hope and Kindness, and her, along with a couple of other people, raised £13,000 for them to have a borehole, and therefore they've now got clean water, which they can use for the school children and the young people that live there. So that's just a picture of the first day when they'd got clean running water. we wanted to show you this picture because these are some of the ladies that work tirelessly hard within the school. They cook for all of the children in the school every day on 3 outside stoves with massive big pots. And they cook rice and maize and these tiny little fish. Tiny little fish, weren't they? Yeah. Incredible ladies. And they have subsequently also set up a farm on the site, and that's partly about being able to sustain the charity as well. So they grow some of the food that they eat. Outside the visitor centre where we were, there was kale growing, and they regularly use that as part of their meals. The other thing that Hope and Kindness do, and I think there is a bit of a tension for them because there's so much need in the community that they possibly couldn't really meet all of that need, but they try really hard to, through the church that's actually on the site there, they try really hard to sort of determine the people within the community that actually need their help the most. So they do, on a fortnightly basis, have food parcels for people to come and collect, to collect those. And we'll tell you a bit more about this later on, but on Easter Sunday, we fed 160 children with chapatis and beans, and we also fed the adults that had come to the service.
The big kids didn't have any because they had all of it.
That's right. I wanted to show you this picture because that was one of the feet of one of the young boys that came to the Sunday school. Some people have said, well, that's two different people, isn't it? I said, no, it's the same boy. He's got a little girl's shoe on one foot and a broken croc on the other. So I think it's just an illustration of sort of some of the poverty, really. And also, the other thing that they do is serve the community through the church. So this is Doreen, who's their pastor, lovely lady. And she really helps to work out who are the people within the local community that do need the support the most. And works with Terry and Jim.